good afternoon, Hanley. Yeah, once again, to bring the good news, the glad tidings, the joyful sound of the gospel. God's mighty power for salvation. For those that is, of course, who believe it. And of course, to that end, the Word of God was given to us. God sent His Son into the world that you might be blessed, but that blessing, salvation, has to be received. And the way that is, of course, of repentance, coming that is from your sin and unbelief, and turning to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Power, wonder-working power, saves the best and the worst of sinners, even here in Hanley this afternoon. A copy of God's Word is offered to you quite freely, no cost or obligation to you, none whatsoever. Yours simply and only for the taking. Precious Word of God, most precious gift, I tell you, that one person can give to another in this world. The Word of God, engrafted Word of God, is able to save your precious soul. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, I do feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place into your hands. Word of God for you here today in Hanley, taken once more from the book of Psalms. Check out for yourself if you will. Have a Bible with you, you can open up Psalm 113. He raiseth, that's Jesus, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that He may set him with princes, even the princes of His people. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the mighty Son of God, second person of the blessed and holy Trinity. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, sent into the world to save and to bless the world. But the blessing upon the world is not seen one generation after another. Why? Because men do not believe, do not trust in their Maker, do not trust in His promise, do not believe upon His name. But for those who do, those who believe, those who confide, that is, those who put their confidence firmly in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, salvation is what they get. He raises up the poor out of the dust, that is, out of the filth and mire and sin, out of the dust of sin and which, well, we're all, each and every one of us, conceived and born and live in it, in the dust of sin, until that is, and unless that is, the Lord Jesus Christ lifts us up out of it. He raises the poor. It's the poor, not the rich. Those who are poor in spirit, that is, poverty of spirit, those who see themselves as nothing, with nothing, nothing that is to offer, nothing, no means by which they could of themselves be accepted by God. Here now, in this life, and of course, well, when they breathe their last and go out of this world to meet God. For it is, Bible says, appointed unto man once to die, after that then comes that meeting with God, with your Maker. One, of course, you now in the dust of your sin and then in the richness of your spirit, you who would say, I have no need of anything, no need of God, no need of His salvation, no need of His Son, no need of anything at all. I'm fine, I'm good, I'm okay. I'm a good person, you say. Well, in such a day as that, when you meet him, well, then you'll see then, perhaps too late, but you'll see then how poverty-stricken you really were. He raises up the poor, those who are poor in spirit, those who are broken-hearted, those who are of a contrite spirit, says God. Blessed is the poor, they shall see God. Poor in spirit, my friends, those are they whom the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, he lifts them up out of the dust, out of the mire, out of the filth, out of the uncleanness of sin. But God must come and condemn you first. He must come by the gospel. He must come by his holy law and kill you first. Ministry of killing. Bring you to that place, seeing yourself utterly and absolutely condemned to a man, to a woman. Sin then comes short of his glory. No power, no strength in you to repair yourself. Get yourself out of the dust. Only Jesus, only the Son of God, only he can raise you up. Only he can lift you out of the mire of sin. Come short of the glory of God. Glorious target that God has set for mankind. Where would you find that target? Where would you find that standard that God has set for you and by which in that day he will measure you? The holy law of God, the Ten Commandments, summary of God's law. Jesus says to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor. Falling short, not only falling short, but set yourself up another target. Set up your own target, your own standard of morality, and of course, well, your very own God. I mean, you're a God yourself. So what need would you have of being raised up out of the dust? None at all. I'm rich, I'm fine, I'm godless, unholy, unrighteous, but it's of no account to you. None whatsoever. All will be well with me. And I die. That'll be the end of it. Not so. Not so. Apply to that command once to die. Then out comes the measuring stick. Out comes God's standard, the target that you ought to have reached all your days. Broken God's law. Denied his being. Defied his counsel. And rejected the salvation. So great salvation. How shall we escape? The word of God says, if we neglect, if you even reject, so great salvation. Answer being, of course, well, you will not, cannot escape. But now you may. Now with a broken heartedness, now coming to the realization by my gospel that I declare to you here this afternoon, who knows, maybe a word in season, perhaps maybe a phrase, maybe a verse quoted from the scripture that God will cause to lodge in your heart and mind and cause you and make you to muse upon it and bring you to that realization, awakening of the poverty of your condition, the state that you are in reality. Not as you think yourself to be, not as you imagine yourself to be, but rather as God sees you. How do you see that? Well, you look into the mirror of God's Word. There's reality. I am the way, the truth, says Jesus. There is no truth, there is no reality without it. You look into the mirror of God's Word, and then you see yourself as you really are. In reality, that is, as you truly are, broken, ruined, undone, to a man, to a woman, every man, woman, and child born into this world, conceived in sin, born in sin, and live and die in sin. But that is but for the grace of God lifting you by His Son Jesus Christ, lifting you up out of the dust and bringing you to salvation, awakening you to the reality of your condition, sinful from birth, all the days of your life, living in denial, living in defiance of God as your Maker. Surely that will not end well for you. Oh, today if you will hear His voice, not my voice, but His, calling you apart from your sin, calling you out of the dust and mire of sin, and calling you out of your rebellion, your anarchy, out of your wickedness.
Amen.
Out of your wickedness and into His grace. God so loved the world that He gave the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, to the world. But even that's of no consequence to you. What was the world's response to the gift of God, His Son? Away with Him. Crucify Him. He's not fit to live. He's not fit for heaven. He's not fit for earth. Crucify Him. Hang Him upon a cross. That was the response of the world. That was your response. Mine, that was His all. But the very means by which God saves wicked, rebellious sinners, men and women who have rejected, denied God, rejected His gospel, despised His salvation and His Son Jesus Christ. Oh, God so loved the world, but His mind, His heart has not changed, not one degree, not one iota. Salvation, we come to you in the love of God, come to you declaring the love of God, that in the love of God that you might escape the wrath of God. When we say to you that He's angry with the wicked every day, that's an evidence, my friends, of that love, because God, a loving God, a God who loves goodness and righteousness, wholesomeness, who loves that which is proper, that which we should all love, but don't. He's angry because He loves that which is righteous, that which is holy, that which is good, that which you ought to love. But it's an evidence, the fact that He's angry with the wicked every day is an evidence of His love, because He's a God of love. He's angry with the wicked every day. And if you loved righteousness, if you loved holiness, if you loved that which was good, you would be angry with the wicked every day too. Never mind God. But in the greatness, the immensity of His love, He sent His Son into the world to deal with His own anger, that it might be turned away from you. The Bible says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven now against all the ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who hold down, who suppress the truth of the knowledge of God, that is, live in denial of God, live in denial of their Maker, live in denial of that which is before their very faces. I mean, how foolish. Well, does God say the fool says in his heart there is no God? What folly, what foolishness, my friend. What perversity, what twistedness. But even now at this late stage in the history of the world and mankind, for I declare to you, these are the last days. And I would suggest to you, even the last of the last days. The judge is before the door. is coming. The day has been appointed in which God will judge the world. That's every person, man, woman, and child. Will judge all men by the one whom he has raised from the dead, even Jesus. He will be your judge in that day. Oh, get rid of the foolishness. Get rid of that foolish notion. That foolish notion in which you've been indoctrinated by godless parents, by godless educators, the godless, they can't keep it to themselves. Bible says that they are incontinent. That's the word, incontinent. You know, you've got something in you, but you don't want it to come out, but you can't keep it from coming out. That's the godless. That's the wicked of this age. They're incontinent. They can't keep it in. They've got to infect you, and they've got to infect your children too. They can't keep it to themselves. Incontinent, my friend. Can't keep it in. They've got to infect everybody else with their godlessness. I mean, you would think, wouldn't you? You would think if there was no God, if they truly, truly believed that, you know, they wouldn't have anything to say about it. They wouldn't have anything to say. But no, they rail and they rage, and they're not happy until you believe. Until you are infected with their poison, with their foolishness, and until your children they're not satisfied with ruining you, they want to ruin your children as well. Huh? Look at their folly. Look at the insanity that they're teaching your children. You're getting your children ready to go to school and to be infected with more of the insanity. Transgenderism.
But he's right, mate.
To be infected with their insanity. Huh? Tell your children, huh? Primary school children, that they can, if they're females, that they can become male, and vice versa. Not happy. Not satisfied with the LGBT mafia, but that poison, that filth, that abomination, that uncleanness. Not satisfied with that. Always got to go further and further until they're undone, until you're damned. You wash yours out. You wash yours out. Or wash it out. So like I say, you see what I mean? They're incontinent, can't keep it in. Eh? Hear them, hear them. Yeah, you can't keep it in, can you? Huh? Like I say, you know, every day, every generation has them. We're here to tell you, my friends, how you can get out of the madhouse. How you can get out of the asylum. There's an escape route. There's a way out. But how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation? Shall not escape. You remain in the asylum. And you go up in smoke in the asylum. Along with the other lunatics. All go up together, and the smoke of their torment shall rise up, ascend up forever and ever. Hell's damnation awaits you if you remain in the dust of sinless. Jesus came. God said to his Son, his heart, mind has not changed, not one degree. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, says Jesus. Come to him. He'll raise you up out of the dust. He puts you in your right mind. Three requirements. You need to get your head right, your heart right, and you need to get the bad record straightened out. Bad head's insanity. That's what sin does to men and women. It makes them insane. It makes them crazy. Start crazy mad. Lunacy. That's your world today. That's your society today. That's your handling today. He raises up the poor, the brokenhearted, those who see that they're broken, those who see their poverty, those who see that they're undone, that they've sinned against their Maker, that they've sinned against love, the best love ever there was, that they've sinned against the Son of God and God's salvation. Those who know that Christ died for the ungodly, those that know that they're ungodly. He died for sinners, those who know that they're sinners. But for the rich, oh, for the rich, oh, I have no need, you say. I'm okay, you say. I'm good to go, you say. Well, Jesus got nothing for you. What class of people Jesus never had anything to say to? He said he came for the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. He came for the oppressed. What class of people never had anything to say to? The self-righteous. The self-righteous. Those who say that they're right in themselves. They have no need. No need of Jesus, no need of God's salvation, no need of forgiveness, no need of eternal life. Carry on, says Jesus, carry on, nothing for you. You see, I'm rich and no need of anything. Well, go your way, but I tell you, you'll perish in your riches. You'll perish in your self-righteousness. You'll perish in your sin. If you do not believe that I am, he says the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners, the one who raises the poor, broken by their sin, reduced to the dust, my friend, there in the dust of your sin, before the cross of the Son of God. That's where and how salvation is obtained. When you're broken and you've got that contrite spirit, when you see yourself as ruined and undone, when you see yourself as condemned to the uttermost with absolutely nothing, nothing. God is holy, holy, holy. Man is nothing, nothing, nothing. Just a tiny speck of sinful, filthy dust on the horizon of God's universe, and he blows upon you and you'll be gone for all eternity. So I bid you today, you that has ears for hearing, you that is troubled in your mind, distress, hope, salvation, to be found in Jesus Christ, Son of God, came into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The only begotten Son so loved the world that he came and gave himself up to the death of the cross. But through humbling yourself in the dust of your sin, prostrate before the cross of the Son of God, crying out to him that he would be merciful to you, crying out to him that he would forgive you, pardon you, that he would give up to you eternal life that you may never perish, that he may raise you up out of the dust, out of the mire, out of the filth. Cleanse you, wash you, make you clean. All together, washed in the blood of the Lamb, you must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Nothing else, I tell you, will take away the stain. and make you whole again. Kazan to stay and lifted the needy out of the dunghill. He lifts the needy out of the dunghill. You got yourself hardly in a dunghill, says God. A dunghill of sin, that's what the world is. A dunghill. And he lifts the needy out of that dunghill. Out of the dunghill of your society. That's what you turned them into. The ones great, Britain. Bless them, God, in days past. A heritage beyond all other nations, but now apostatized. Now turn your back upon your Maker. Turn away from His salvation. Now rich and no need of anything. Oh, you can do it yourself. You can send men to the moon. You can find vaccinations for COVID. Oh, there's nothing that you can't do. You have no need of anything or anyone, let alone God. And so you remain. You remain in the dunghill. Because everything you do, everything you build, God smites it. God brings it down. Oh, man says, we can build the nation. We can build back Britain. No, no. The curse of God is stronger than all the efforts of men. Any confederacy that man puts together. United Nations, United States of Europe, United Kingdom, all come down. Because the curse of God is mightier and stronger. I tell you that anything that man seeks to do to better himself, no matter what they do, your energy crisis, all this stuff that they're talking about in the media today, oh, they can sort it. One prime minister lining up after another. I can sort it, he, she said. No, they can't. No, they can't, because God has reduced your nation to a dunghill. And that's why, because of your rejection. That's why, because of your apostasy. Because of your departure from God. Only He can mend you. But you have no need. You have no need. You see yourself as okay. You have the power, you have the strength. You can sort it, says that. No, but the needy soul, the man, the woman, the society, the nation that sees their need, that comes to the realization through the preaching of the gospel, comes to the realization, to the awakening. We've departed from God. That's our trouble. That's our problem. We're broken in our society from the top to the bottom. Politics, judiciary, health, prisons, you name it. Any department, broken, broken, broken. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Humpty back together again. And all the promises of politicians won't do it either. When you come to see your need, Hanley, sinner, that your need is not man. It's not man's effort. That your need is of God, is of your Maker, to return to Him. And to return to Him quickly. Before you breathe your last, He'll raise you up out of the dunghill. He can take a dunghill like Hanley and make it beautiful. He can take any sinner, I tell you, out of the dunghill of their sin, the dunghill of drug abuse, the dunghill of alcohol abuse, the dunghill of immorality, sodomy, lesbianism, transgenderism, the dunghill that you've constructed for yourselves. Jesus Christ can lift a man or woman out of that dunghill and make them straight, make them right in their head, in their heart, and clear their bad record. But you have to come to Jesus, because he's the lifter. Only he has the tackle. He's the lifter. He's the raiser up. How does he raise them up? By his gospel. By that which he accomplished. His coming. And living and loving and dying and rising. The mighty power of the gospel to raise you out of the dust and out of the dunghill. That's how. The gospel. Power of God unto salvation for everybody. Who's religious? No. Who goes to a church? No. Everyone that believeth knows. Who truly trusts in Jesus. Who come to the mighty Son of God. Through faith in him connecting with the Son of God. Power, wonder working power, flows into the soul and gives strength and energy that never you had before. Through his wonder working power, I tell you, the addiction to drugs and to alcohol, the involvement in immorality. I heard the testimony of a young woman in the United States of America just the other day, confessing publicly she was a whore. She was a whore. She was a prostitute. She sold her body. But Jesus came and lifted her out of that dunghill and made her beautiful. Do you know what Jesus said? There'll be those, there'll be whores like her, there'll be prostitutes like her, that will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you self-righteous people will be shut out, excluded from the kingdom of God. Huh? Drug addicts, huh? Thieves and robbers, murderers, whores will enter the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because you got no need. You got no need, you're okay. You're fine. You got a righteousness of your own. But God says that's like filthy rags. That's like filthy rags, he says. That's like a menstrual cloth, he says. Won't touch it, won't look at it. You see yourself, there's no need. I tell you, your need is great. Your need is vast. Your need is immense. But you're blind to it. Oblivious to the fact. And even when you're told it, even when we come to you and make it known to you and bring to you the cure, the remedy, the Son of God, lovely, lovely Son of God, Jesus, altogether lovely, heal you, raise you up from the dust, lift you up out of the dunghill that you've made for yourselves and that you live in all the squalor and filth of that dunghill you live day by day, and you can be raised up and be like a prince in the Israel of God. But you won't have it. You won't have it. Nothing to you that God should so love the world and give his Son. Nothing to you that the Son of God should come and live and die, shed his blood and take away the curse and the wrath of God from sinners. Nothing. Nothing to you. No need. No need at all. Till you see your need, sir, never come to Jesus. Been to Jesus, sir?
Yes, I'm a child of God. Huh? I believe in the Lord.
Yes, in the
Krishna.
Oh, thank you so much. God, this is wonderful. God is so merciful upon his
people.
All, God will put all my enemies to shame.
Amen.
The Lord
Amen.
Will destroy them.
Amen, sir.
Their evil plans will not work.
Amen. God bless you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
I see my friends that are good. There are those walking amongst you. You have to be a little bit more vocal, but there are those amongst you, walking amongst you, who have been to Jesus, who have been to him for the cleansing power, and all the dung has been washed away, all the dust has been moved away. He's lifted them up, he's raised them up out of the dunghill and out of the dust, and made them princes and princesses. That's what Jesus does. He lifts men and women up to a higher standard. Eternal life is more than just life everlasting. It's a quality of life here and now in this world. You live outside of the dunghill. You don't have to live in a dunghill. You don't have to live in the dust. You can get out of it. You can be washed and made clean, sanctified and justified, made right with God. But right in the head first. Right in the head. Clothed in your right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him, hearing his voice, following him. And he says to such, I give eternal life, and they shall never perish. A handshake, reborn, God putting his life into your soul, his love into your heart, so that you no longer love the dunghill, but hate it, despise it, reject the stench of it, want to be out of it, need to be out of it. Why, Jesus says you must be born again, except a man be born again cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot enter the kingdom of God, but you remain in the dunghill, and you'll remain there for all eternity with the stench of it in your nostrils for all eternity, unless Jesus raises you up out of it. And the bad record, well, that can be set clear. That can be set clear. That can be forgiven. That's why Jesus shed his blood. That's why he came. That's why he had to die on the cross. Blood had to be shed. Because there's no forgiveness without the shedding of blood, according to God's law. So you see, you must needs be washed. Head right, heart right, record cleansed, washed. If we confess our sins, says God, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, the precious divine blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed for needy sinners. Oh, that you could see your need. Oh, that God would open your eyes, remove the blindness, unstop your ears, remove the folly from your mind, the foolishness in which you live in that dunghill, in which you live day by day, that you cry out to him. Cry out to him that he would be merciful to you, a sinner, because that's what you are. And that's why you live in a dunghill. That's why you live in the dust. That's why your world is broken. Always been broken and will be till the end, until Jesus fixes it. But that's what he's coming for. Next great event marked on God's calendar. Son of God appearing from heaven to burn up this dunghill, dissolve it in fervent heat, and to bring in a new heaven a new earth in which will dwell only righteousness. You won't dwell there, Hanley. You won't be there. Not unless Jesus raises you up. Not unless Jesus lifts you up out of the dunghill. You won't be there. I'll be there, but you won't be. Unless that is, of course, you follow the instructions. I mean, they are quite simple. You know, Jesus said, you know, doesn't require you to have a PhD. He doesn't require you to have been to a university. He doesn't even require you to have been educated. Instructions are quite simple. A child could understand. Except you become as little children, says Jesus, and be converted, turned, then you remain in the dunghill. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Turn around. Turn, turn, turn. Why will ye die when there is life to be had in a crucified, risen Savior? Huh? Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. That's how simple it is. Not so simple to do. Not without the grace of God. Not without my gospel. Not without my Jesus. But be informed, my friend. That day is coming when everything will fall. Every institution of man, every kingdom, every empire raised up by man will fall before the name of King Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is God. That includes you and me and everybody else in his dark. All creation will bow before King Jesus. I urge you today that you should bow the knee this afternoon, that you should turn to him, fly into his arms, cry out to him that he would be merciful to you, that he would raise you out of the dust, lift you out of the dunghill, wash you and make you clean, make you fit for life, fit for God, and fit one day for heaven. In Jesus Christ, in his love, life and lasting joy is found only Lord Jesus Christ in thee. Come to him today, Hanley. Come to him you may, on the authority of his word. Come unto me, he says, and I will give you rest, peace with God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Come to him today, but in the way that he prescribed. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Hanley. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's how you enter God's kingdom. You'd like to have a copy of God's word, his written word, that is, offered to you quite freely, no cost, no obligation to you. You're simply only for the taking. Likewise, you come and ask for one. May God bless you, Henry, and have mercy upon your precious, never dying souls.